began to happen in a rush. First, the designer John Bartlett called. He wanted to use hush puppies in his spring collection. Then another Manhattan designer, Anna Sui, called, wanting shoes for her show as well. In Los Angeles, the designer Joel Fitzgerald put a 25-foot inflatable basset hound, the symbol of the Hush Puppies brand, on the roof of his Hollywood boutique and gutted an adjoining art gallery to turn it into a Hush Puppies department store. It was total word of mouth, Fitzgerald remembers. In 1995, the company sold 430,000 of the classic Hush Puppies. The next year, it sold four times that, and the year after that, still more, until Hush Puppies were once again a staple of the wardrobe of the young American male. Hush Puppies had suddenly exploded, and it all started with a handful of kids in the East Village in Soho. Those first few kids, whoever they were, weren't deliberately trying to promote Hush Puppies. They were wearing them precisely because no one else would wear them. Then it spread to two fashion designers who used the shoes to peddle something else, haute couture fashion. The shoes were an incidental touch. And then, in the space of a year, boom, the shoes exploded. They went past a certain point and they tipped. How did that happen? How does a $30 pair of shoes go from a handful of downtown Manhattan hipsters and designers to every mall in America in the space of 2 years? There was a time, not very long ago, in the desperately poor New York City neighborhoods of Brownsville and East New York, when the streets would turn into ghost towns at dusk. Ordinary working people wouldn't walk on the sidewalks. Children wouldn't ride their bicycles on the streets. The drug trade ran so rampant, and gang warfare was so ubiquitous in that part of Brooklyn, that most people would take to the safety of their apartments. In 1992, there were 2,154 murders in New York City and 626,182 serious crimes, with the weight of those crimes falling hardest in places like Brownsville and East New York. But then something strange happened. At some mysterious and critical point, the crime rate began to turn. It tipped. Within 5 years, murders had dropped 64.3% to 770, and total crimes had fallen by almost a half to 355,000. In Brownsville and East New York, the sidewalks filled up again, and the bicycles came back. The New York City police will tell you that what happened in New York was that the city's policing strategies dramatically improved. Criminologists point to the decline of the crack trade and the aging of the population. Economists, meanwhile, say that the gradual improvement in the city's economy over the course of the 1990s had the effect of employing those who might otherwise have become criminals. But the demographic changes are all long-term trends happening all over the country. They don't explain why crime plunged in New York City so much more than in other cities around the country, and they don't explain why it all happened in such an extraordinarily short time. How can a change in a handful of economic and social indices cause murder rates to fall by two-thirds in 5 years? The tipping point is the biography of an idea, and the idea is very simple. Ideas and products and messages and behaviors spread just like viruses do. The rise of hush puppies and the fall of New York's crime rate are textbook examples of epidemics in action. Although they may sound like they don't have very much in common, they share a basic underlying pattern. First of all, they are clear examples of contagious behavior. No one took an advertisement out and told people that the traditional hush puppies were cool and they could start wearing them again. Those kids simply wore the shoes when they went to clubs or cafes or simply walked the streets of downtown New York. And in so doing, they exposed other people to their fashion sense. They infected them with the hush puppy virus. The crime decline in New York surely happened the same way. It wasn't that some huge percentage of would-be murderers suddenly sat up in 1993 and decided not to commit any more crimes. Nor was it that the police managed to magically intervene in a huge percentage of situations that would otherwise have turned deadly. What happened is that the small number of people in the small number of situations in which the police or the new social forces had some impact clearly started behaving very differently. And that behavior somehow spread to other would-be criminals in similar situations. Somehow an awful lot of people in New York got infected with an anti-crime virus in a short time. The second distinguishing characteristic of these two examples is that in both cases, little changes had big effects. All of the possible reasons for why New York's crime rate dropped are changes that happened at the margin. The crack trade leveled off. The population got a little older. The police force got a little better. Yet the effect was dramatic. So too with hush puppies. How many kids are we talking about who began wearing their shoes in Manhattan? 20? 50? 100 at the most? Yet their actions seem to have single-handedly started an international fashion trend. Finally,